friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, listen, friend, if he isn't yours, he wants to be, he can be. In fact, he came to be. Luke 19:10 tells us, in no uncertain terms, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if that includes you, I tell you, I say this so often, friend, with no apologies. You may have started this day lost and undone, but you can end it saved and on your way to heaven. You may be headed right now for a Christless eternity. But look, if you realize that you're a sinner, and if you repent of your sin and go to Christ and with a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, the Bible said he would no wise cast you out. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program. I'll tell you what, friend, listen, we're in a spiritual battle. Did you know that? I mean to tell you, we are in a spiritual battle. Just every now and then, friend, I get reminded of what a great battle that it is. But thank God that lets me know, without a doubt, I'm still the child of the King. I'm still on my way to a place that Jesus has gone to prepare. God's still given me a call on my life, and I'm going to do my best to fulfill it. Look, the Word of God teaches us that as a preacher, Paul told Timothy, he said, son, be instant in season, out of season. And I want to do that, and that's what I'm going to be. Hey, look, I've opened my Bible to a couple of places. I'm going to read or quote one verse out of Luke chapter 17, and then I'm going to run just as hard as I can to the book of Genesis chapter 19. So, you, if you can, stick your finger in Luke 17, find your place there in Genesis 19, and I'll be back as soon as Debbie does this song entitled Saved by His Grace. Then you'll know why. You'll know why I've chosen to read those two verses of Scripture. Well, here's the song. Enjoy. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely he gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of his glory. By his blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith. His grace, 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 that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed.
And friend, listen, I got news for you. That's the only way you can be saved. It's by grace through faith. It's always been that way. Not just in the New Testament, but all the way back in the Old, from the Garden on, it's been by the grace of God. If you aren't saved, you can be saved before this day is over. Now look, this message isn't a salvation message. The message the Lord laid is on my heart today, excuse me, is for a believer that may be in trouble, a believer that may be headed in the wrong direction, a believer that has maybe started down the wrong road, looking the wrong way, doing the wrong things, making the wrong choices. Look, I got news for you. I got news for you. Listen, friend, you know what? You can be saved and do some really strange things. I mean, to tell you, you can be saved and make some bad decisions, but I want you to know something. We're going to judgment. We're going to eternity. And if you don't want to smell like after you go to the Bema Seat of Christ, that you've come through a fire cell, I encourage you to pay attention to the message that God has laid on my heart. I'm just as serious as a heart attack, friend, when I do these messages, when I seek God's face to try to find out what He would have me to preach, what He'd have me to share with you. And look, I'm not aiming at your feet, I'm aiming at your heart. We're going to talk about things Lot lost. Things Lot lost. The nephew of a man by the name of Abraham. A man that, most people in Bible circles, Christianity, they know about. And look now in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, the Bible says, and Jesus is talking about end time prophecy, end time thoughts. He said, remember Lot's wife. I'll just be honest with you. I can't help but think sometimes that we ought to find another verse of Scripture that says, remember Lot. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Lot. We're going to look at his life. And we're going to do it briefly. We got to, because I've just got a brief amount of time. We're going to do our best to hurry. And I pray that God will use this to stir you, to enlighten you, to edify you, and to challenge you. Friend, listen, if this sounds like or looks like your life, things Lot lost. You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. If all that I had about Lot was the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I know we're introduced to him in chapter 11, I believe, of the book of Genesis. We see things about him in chapter 12 and 13 and 14. Then again, Abraham pleading to God for him in verse 18 or chapter 18. We see him delivered in chapter 14, but here we find him in chapter 19, friend, in a bad state. I'm telling you, the latter part of chapter 19 of the book of Genesis, one of the saddest accounts of any record of any human being that you could find in the entire Word of God. In fact, listen, friend, I'm going to finish what I just started saying. This is the only record I had of this man by the name of Lot. I'd never believe he is saved. I wouldn't call him righteous. I'd never expect him to be in a place that Jesus is going to prepare. But if you look in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm not looking at it, the verse. Do you know what God refers to him as? You know what God inspires Peter to write about Lot? He calls him, first of all, just. And second of all, he called him righteous. He said this righteous man, he was vexed with their ungodly, perverted lifestyle that he found to be in existence in a place called Sodom, where God sent judgment on a bunch of people, friend, that were living like many in our world today. And I want to tell you, man may change his thoughts and ideas about a perverted lifestyle, about homosexuality and transgenderism and all of that stuff. But God hasn't changed, friend. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves people, friend, regardless of what kind of perversion they live in, regardless of what kind of sin they sin. He loved them enough to send His Son to deliver them, friend, from deceit and from darkness. Oh, look, friend, Lot is a great character, and we're going to look and see what all this man lost. If you begin to look at him, if you begin to look at his life, he was blessed in many ways. Oh, I know he lost his daddy at an early age, but he had a grandfather that loved him. He had an uncle that took care of him and made him thought about him and treated him like he was his own son, like he was his own son, although that he was the son of his brother that died before his father died, died at an early age, died in an unexpected time. Hey, friend, if you're listening, that could happen to you. That could happen to me. Death, listen, death is no respecter of person. And I want you to know we don't know where it's at. All we know that it's in front of us somewhere. It's not like a hound dog trailing behind us, running to try to catch up with this and overtake us. It's in front of us. There is a place. There is a time, friend, that if we live long enough, we'll get to it. And my philosophy is you live long enough and you'll die. But let's look at a couple of things about this man by the name of Lot. I want to pick it up in chapter 13. Of the book of Genesis, and I want to read a couple of verses, verses 7, 8, and 9, if I can find it really quickly. There it was. This is a time after that Abraham and Lot and Sarah, everybody else is with them, had been down into Egypt. They got run out. You hear me? I mean, God intervened and ran them out, and Abraham came back to his altar, came back to the place that he left, and I believe he got right with God. I believe he repented for not staying in the land. But listen, when Abraham's faith failed, it affected Lot. Lot went with him down into Egypt. Lot saw wonderful things, beautiful things down in Egypt. In fact, Abraham and Lot became prosperous down in Egypt. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Just because you're out of the will of God and you feel like you're prospering, you're experiencing blessing after blessing. Hey, don't listen. Don't let the devil deceive you for a moment of time. I'm telling you, God's good, God's gracious, God's long-suffering. But the quicker you can get back in His will, quicker you can get back in a place of fellowship, in right relationship with Him, I'll tell you what, the better off you'll be. And listen to what you'll bring out of Egypt. If you get down out of the will of God, if you get out of that place God said for you to dwell and stay, hey, you'll bring your troubles with you, do you hear me? I'm telling you, they got back with all those herds and cattle. They got back in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And Abram said, hey, Lot, I'm going to tell you something. We're brethren. Here's what we're going to do. You decide which way you're going, and whatever way you go, I'll go the opposite way. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. And he said, the whole land is set before us. Now, son, you just decide where you want to go, and then listen, I'll go the opposite way. Can I tell you the first thing that Lot lost? Lot lost, listen, Lot lost godly fellowship. I'm going to tell you some of the problem. One of the reasons that you're having the problem that you're having, sir and ma'am, is that since COVID, you've not been to the house of God half a dozen times. I mean, tell you, you're out of fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship with God's people. You think you can sit at home in a pair of pajamas with your favorite coffee cup in your hand, reared back on the couch or in your lazy boy, and listen, just stay home and make a convenient religion out of a bad situation? Hey, I'm telling you, friend, listen, if you'll check up on yourself, I wonder if you're as spiritual as you used to be. Where's your testimony? If you've got it and nobody can hear it, hey, where's your excitement? Hey, where is, listen, friend, your involvement? Where is your dedication? Where is many things? Hey, listen, Lot started, I believe, his downward trip when Abraham took him, no doubt, to Egypt. And he began to see things he shouldn't have seen. Heard things he shouldn't have heard. Experienced things he shouldn't experience. Hey, but I'll tell you what. He made a decision to say, all right, I'll go this way, Uncle Abraham, if you'll go the other way. I believe, listen, Lot lost, first of all, his godly fellowship. Look in verse 10 of chapter 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Lifted up his eyes. There's a series of things that he did right here in chapter 13. While I'm so close to him, let me go ahead and read them, if that's okay. He lifted up his eyes. Notice next as you read that he journeyed. Then look now, look what else? that the Bible said that he did. He pitched his tent, sword Sodom. If you go on over to chapter 14 and look at verse 12, you'll find that he dwelt in Sodom. If you read on into chapter 19 where we're going to, you'll find when the two angels, judgment of justice, came to Sodom, he was sitting in the gate. Do you see the downward journey? Do you see, listen, the negatives in his life? And look at verse 11 of chapter 13 of Genesis. And Lot chose. Can I tell you, listen, friend, you may not think that Lot chose to lose everything that I'm going to tell you that he lost. I may as well go ahead and tell you my last point now. Hey, listen, friend, he lost his wife. He lost his daughters. He lost his son-in-laws. Hey, friend, in essence, he lost the greatest treasures in his life. No, he still had his soul. He didn't have his integrity. He didn't have his testimony. He didn't have his witness. He didn't have his power. He didn't have those things that he once had. How about I tell you what? God was gracious. And God, friend, listen, God gave him mercy. Listen, God will do that even when we don't deserve it. In fact, that's what mercy is about, getting something that we do not deserve. Look, according to verse in chapter 13, 10, and other verses, 11 and 12, can I tell you what he lost? He lost his pilgrim character. Listen, God told to Abraham, and the Abraham was the covenant now, and the covenant was to Abraham, not to Lot. But listen, God was willing to bless Lot for going with Abraham. You know what? When Lot changed and said, look, Uncle, I'm going to part from you. I'm going to head down there to the well-watered plains of Jordan. The Jordan. Matter of fact, I like the way it looks down there towards Sodom. You know what? He kept going. He pitched his tent. And before long, he dwelt there. He had him a home. He had him a position in that city. You know what he did? He lost his pilgrim character. Just as sure, friend, listen, as I'm talking to you, he lost his pilgrim character. You know what a pilgrim is? It's somebody on the way home. Hey, friend, we ought to get those old songs out and blow the dust off of them and begin to sing once again about the fact that we're a pilgrim and stranger in this world. We're seeking a city to come. I'm telling you, friend, listen. Once you lose your character, once you begin to lift up your eyes and quit walking by faith and start walking by sight, it's hard to tell where you'll end up. Hard to tell what you'll do. Hey, listen, friend, we're to be living by faith and not by sight. And because, listen, it began with a look. I'm telling you, a lot lost his pilgrim character. Look in verse 10 of chapter 13 again. And let me emphasize that phrase. He lifted up his eyes once again. Can I tell you what? That's the key feature of the godly. I mean to tell you that's how we're to live. We're to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That is recorded clearly four times. Once in the book of Habakkuk or Habakkuk. Once in the book of Romans, once in the book of Galatians, once in the book of Hebrews. Hey, listen, friend, if you're justified, you'll live by faith. If you're living, if you've got life from Christ because you've been crucified, listen, with Christ, you'll live by faith. And oh, listen, according to the book of Hebrews, you're to live by faith. And then when he introduces that verse, he introduces chapter 11 about the heroes of faith. But you know what he did? He lost his desire to live by faith. Living by faith isn't the easiest thing to do. It's challenging. It's not by feelings. It's by faith. It's by faith in the Word of God. It's by faith in the God of the Word. It's by faith, friend, when you don't feel like it, when you don't want to, when everything looks like it's caving in around you, when nothing's going the right way, when it seems like all hell's broke loose against you. Do you know what? That's the best time, bless God, to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. But Lot lost his desire to live by faith. You know what else he did? He lost his desire to live a separated life. Boy, I'll tell you what, the further down he went, from Mamre right down to Jordan, right down to Sodom. Hey, I've been there. I know the elevations. I know that near Sodom, it's the lowest place on planet Earth. It's right at the southern end of the Dead Sea. And before judgment fell, it must have been a beautiful place. But still, it's pretty low on planet Earth. Can I tell you, friend, listen, he wasn't going towards Jerusalem. He wasn't going towards that heavenly city, that holy city. He had broken fellowship with Abraham. He had quit living by faith and was living by sight. And you know what he did, friend? Listen, he lost his desire to live a separated life. Can I tell you, Christian friend? Jesus prayed for me and you in John 17:11, 17:14. When he said, listen, I'm going to pray for these. Lord, he said, now Father, they're in the world. In verse 11, verse 14 says, but they're not of the world. In fact, Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians 6:17, I believe it is, he tells us to come out from among the world. You know where Lot was going? Headed right toward it just as fast his little feet could carry him. Look in chapter 19, verse 8. In chapter 19, verse 8, one of the saddest pictures, anything I find in the entire Word of God. Those angels had met Lot in the gate of that city. And in the gate of a city in those days, it was a big deal to have a seat in the gate. That's where all the leaders sat. That's where judgment took place. I mean, to tell you, if you were a who's who in a city, you could find yourself a seat in the gate. And when judgment and judgment had finally arrived at Sodom, at the gate of Sodom, guess who they found? Lot, listen now, had pitched his tent towards Sodom. Hey, he lost his pilgrim character, gave up his tent. And listen, he was living in a house, and he was sitting in the seat, sitting in the gate of the city of Sodom. Oh, what a picture this is. And those angels came in, and Lot met him. Lot called him in. He said, now look, he said, don't you abide in the street, but you come home with me, would you? And they said, no, we want to see what's going on here. Lot knew what was going on. I wonder why he didn't get out. But nonetheless, he invited him and he saw him. He fed him dinner. And all the men, both young and old, of the city of Sodom was around about Lot's house. They were pressing sore upon that house to get in. They wanted to know those two men. And the word know there in the book of Genesis 19, as well as many other places, Mary said, seeing that I know not a man, having to talk, or is referring to, friend, listen, having sexual relationships with him. Those men, friend, were sodomites. That's what they were. They had made some ungodly choices, some choices that the Word of God calls an abomination. And oh, listen, Lot thought he was doing something great, no doubt about it. But you know what I believe? I believe he lost his ability to make godly choices because he said, now look, trying to reason with those unreasonable men of Sodom who wanted to lay with those two angels, who wanted to have sexual relationships with them. If you can imagine that. He said, I've got two daughters, never known a man. Here, you can take them and do with them whatsoever you please. Hey, that may sound good to somebody, but that's about as ungodly and unholy and unkind and anything that you want that has any kind of integrity to it, anything you want to say. He lost his ability to make godly choices, especially for his own children. I got to go because my time's going. But look in verse 14, if you will, I believe it is. And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-laws, which had married his daughters, and said, up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. You know what he did here? He lost his influence over his family. He lost his spiritual power. Isn't that something? I mean to tell you, his spirituality, I was gone. It was so missing that his own family mocked him. No doubt they called him a hypocrite. No doubt they laughed at him and said, old man, what are you doing? Trying to witness to me. Here you are. You came down here a pilgrim. You came down here a stranger. You came down here unwelcome. You shouldn't have been here. You had a tent when you arrived. You sold it and bought you a house. You settled down. You settled in. And last time I saw you earlier today, you were sitting at the gate of the city. And you're now trying to win me to Christ. You're trying to testify to me and tell me to get ready for judgment that's coming. I believe they laughed at him. I believe Job left their house, went back to his house as a broken man. But I'll be honest, as I watch this, the rest of this story played out, I don't believe it was broken deep enough. Hey, listen, sir, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're about to lose. I don't know what all you've already lost. Maybe you've already lost your integrity. Maybe you've already lost your character. Maybe you've lost your fellowship. Maybe you've lost your witness, but you can get it back. Won't you do what David did in Psalm 51? Go to God with a broken spirit, broken, contrite heart. Go to Him and say, God, I'm sorry that I've sinned. Forgive me, Lord, where I've failed You. Forgive me, Lord, where I've sinned against You. And I'll tell you, if you be honest with God, call you sin, whatever it is, call it sin, call it iniquity, call it transgression, call it just exactly what it is, and ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to restore the joy of His salvation. Ask Him to restore you in fellowship. You know what He'll do? He'll hear you. Hey, lost things. You quit. You quit losing things right now.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDeBbie at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.